We do not claim any rights to any audio clips taken from other media used in our podcast.
These belong to the studios and creators that made the characters and stories portrayed in the clip, and we have only used these clips for entertainment and reference purposes.
Hey there, everyone. This is Rebecca. I'm the mom.
And I'm her daughter, Hannibal.
Side note, what you're about to hear was recorded a month ago.
So I wanted to apologize for the long amount of time between Fire and Ice and A Competitive Edge. Mm-hmm. Last week, when I should have been editing and putting out Competitive Edge, I was interviewing for a new job.
Yay.
That I shadowed on at the end of last week and started this week.
Yay!
I absolutely love it. It's so much fun, but it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. I'm working 10-hour shifts. Receptionist position at a vet's office.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I get to work with cute little dogs all day.
You get to pet kitties all day.
Oh my goodness. There's a cat that lives in the vet's office. And she'll just come up and like just hop up on the desk by me and just walk around. And well, you can tell I am a little congested because technically I'm allergic to cats.
Technically.
But whatever. They're so worth it. They're so cute. And my body will adjust. It's just going to take some time, people.
Oh, yeah.
So sorry, you get to have me congested again.
Woohoo!
It's everybody's lucky day. So I'm just going to state this right now. We are no longer saying we're going to put them out on Tuesdays because I never know which day is going to be my day off anymore.
Right.
It kind of alternates depending on the week. So whatever my days off are, I'm like, okay, I have this day off today. I shall edit and publish the podcast.
Yes. But if you guys keep up with our social medias, then you can see whenever we post, or if you are like subscribed or whichever platform you have that you listen to your podcasts on, then it should give you some kind of a notification when we post. So that way you at least know when it goes up.
For sure. I definitely encourage you guys, because of the sporadicness of my life and my job, editing is definitely one of those things where it's not always going to happen exactly when I want it to. Mm-hmm. It happens when I can. So definitely subscribe, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts, which I know a lot of you listen on Apple. Mm-hmm. If you subscribe and turn on notifications, you'll be told when it's up, so you don't have to be sitting there going, hey, when are they going to put anything else out?
I wonder if there's one up.
Exactly.
So it's going to be a little bit all over the place for a minute.
Yeah.
But we'll get it figured out. We always do.
But this is a perfect opportunity to remind you, go follow us on the social medias. And let's see, anything else? Any other big exciting life news or updates or anything?
Not that I can think of. It's finally fall. And thank it actually feels goodness. Like fall.
Almost.
Almost.
It was still too hot today.
It was a little hot today, but the wind is blowing.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at you parroting me again.
I know.
I didn't even go outside the house today. Today is my day off, which is why we're recording today. Because oftentimes I'm getting home from work and I'm like, nope. Just not happening.
Nah.
So I edited and published A Competitive Edge today and watched the next episode and did notes on it, and now we're recording tonight.
Whew, busy day.
It's all podcast day. Yeah. Okay. Guess what?
What?
I never even got out of my pajamas today.
Lucky you. I had to wrangle children today.
I'll be back in scrubs tomorrow wrangling dogs and cats, so it's fine.
But you get to wear scrubs and feel like you're wearing pajamas.
It is amazing. Okay, anybody out there who wears scrubs, you know what I mean. It feels like you're wearing your PJs all day, every day.
I think that's why nurses and doctors get to wear scrubs, is because their job is stressful enough. Yeah. They deserve to be in their pajamas.
I'm just a receptionist, but it's at a medical office, so I get to wear scrubs. They're so cozy.
Anywho. Right.
So today we are talking about Season 2, Episode 21, Everybody's Talking About It. And because I just edited the last episode today, it's kind of fresh on my mind, so I want to comment on something.
Oh?
Our cold open in Competitive Edge was Hannah and I talking about being parrots.
I forgot about that.
I did too until I was editing today, and I was dying of laughter. So I'm sure you guys have noticed this happens a lot. There's a lot of times I can edit it out because one of us will say something, the other one like echoes it. And we both do it to each other.
Yeah, the ADHD brain hears a thing that we like and then we want to say it too.
In one ear, out the mouth. That's what I've always told Hannibal.
Yeah, since I was like 5, I've heard that phrase.
Because that's what she does.
In one ear, out the mouth.
So I do try to, when I'm editing, I'll hear one of us say something and the other one say something. I'm like, okay, if they're separate enough, I'll delete one of them. So you only have to hear one of us saying it. But there's sometimes I can't. So, real quick tangent. I know we're already like a ways into it and we're it's already on another tangent. But I was listening to Office Ladies this morning to get my brain awake and functioning before I started editing.
Makes sense.
They were doing the same thing.
Seriously?
Yeah. They parrot each other. And I started noticing, like, we're not the only parrots.
Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just us crazies.
It's Jenna and Angela, too.
Yeah.
So today's episode that we're going to be discussing was written by Charles and Karen Rosen.
Ooh.
We have the husband-wife team on this
one. We got the duo today.
And we are going to discuss it all as one storyline because it basically is.
It really is. There's a couple of like little threads that kind of spin off, but it's mostly all pertaining to the same subject.
Exactly. So we're just going to do one big long thing. Somewhere in the middle when probably my sinuses are getting a little crazy.
We'll take a break.
Or when the dogs are barking because your dad gets home. We'll take a break.
Sounds good.
Can I have the Back to the Peach Pit description, Ms. Hannibal?
Absolutely. Andrea becomes the spokesperson for a movement amongst the students of West Beverly to spread information about safer sex, and the gang must face all of the emotional struggles that come with the sensitive topic of teenage sexuality.
So let's just dive right in here.
Sounds good.
Because it's 6:15 and we have like 2 hours till I melt and turn into a sleepy pumpkin.
See, it used to be that I would be the one who melts.
Yeah, no.
Now you're the one who melts.
My alarm goes off at 5 a.m., honey.
Oof.
All right, so this episode starts off at the Walsh house.
Yes.
Everybody's watching the news. Jim, Cindy, Brandon, Andrea, Dylan, and Brenda.
Yeah.
Let's see. Some of them are sitting on the couch. Some are sitting on the
Andrea
floor.
Andrea is kind of sitting on like
the next arm of the couch.
On the arm of the couch.
Yeah.
And Dylan and Brenda are all snuggled up. Brandon is sitting in front of the couch on the floor. Like, he's like, he wants to be focused on the TV.
Yes. Kind of how during the news story, that's where he's at.
Yes.
It's a story about a public-funded survey about teenage sex.
A sensitive topic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a very heated topic.
Very much so, as we learned throughout this episode.
Yes.
So Jim and Cindy are heading to bed, and Dylan makes a joke to Brenda about, all right, Miss Walsh, let's head to bed, ha ha ha.
Because it's exactly how Jim says it as he leaves.
Exactly, super cute. And then, of course, Dylan and Brenda start kissing. By this point,
Brandon is on the couch,
and he and Andrea are like, awka awkward, so they're going, so how's everything going?
Staff meeting, first period tomorrow, right?
So the next day at school, Griffin, which we've heard him called John and Griffin in the
And we find out it's because his name is John Griffin. And yes. So different people will call him Griffin, different people will call him John.
Yes.
It does get a little bit confusing.
But I think I finally got it figured out.
I think so too.
Because he's in this episode a lot.
I actually really like his character too.
He's different.
He's interesting.
He's fun. He's a good mix to the group.
I think so.
So Griffin, Andrea, and Brandon are chatting about the news story. David and Donna are in the DJ booth being super cute.
They're just like being precious. Donna's sitting like in the DJ chair and David's kind of like leaning over her shoulder, like showing her how to pick things. And
yeah.
It's super adorable.
So cute. So cute. And then Brenda and Kelly walk by and
Just chit-chatting.
And it's
funny.
It's Kelly.
Aren't they the darling duo? Kelly, what's wrong? You sound cranky. Just seeing David reminds me of how much my mom likes his dad. Yeah, what can she see in a guy whose ideal good time is a gum massage? Kelly, he's a dentist.
I just love that. Kelly, he's a dentist. Like, duh.
Of course.
It just has that duh tone of voice.
There's kind of laying the storyline starting off here that we kind of started last week, where Kelly, she was doing a good job for a while of just dealing with the fact that her mom is dating David's dad. But suddenly we're seeing more and more of that.
Ugh.
She's kind of annoyed, like, ugh, is the best way to describe it, ugh.
Exactly. She's happy that her mom is happy, but she doesn't really like... I don't think that she doesn't like Mel.
She's just annoyed by the fact that
it's
David's dad, and it's different, and it's not just her and her mom anymore.
Right. because it was a very short period of time between mm-hmm. her and her mom only, and now her mom has had somebody since summertime.
Yeah. So we see in the newsroom, Mrs. Teasley is coming in to tell them that they can't do the survey.
They aren't allowed to. Mm-hmm. The school board or somebody
said...
It's been canceled.
Not just postponed.
Canceled. Completely canceled. Which Steve is very upset about because now he has to actually go to English class.
He was really upset because he was looking forward to not having to read this book. He has to go to class and read the book now.
Bummer.
Dude, you would have had to read the book anyways. Just saying. So outside, the kids are out there supporting Andrea and how upset she is about this.
And she's, like, extremely heated about it.
Oh, my goodness. She is fired up. Wow.
How did we both think of that at the same time?
Guess it's a good description of how she was.
I mean, it's pretty accurate.
So true.
Like, Brandon's even telling her, like, Andrea, chill out. She's, yeah. like, almost yelling at the other kids.
Not yelling at them, but just yelling their direction.
Yes, especially when they're, like, bringing up points, like, agreeing with her, and then they're, like, she's, like, yelling at them.
She's at constant yell volume.
Yeah, and so everyone's kind of like, whoa, Andrea, you need to chill.
But then Donna says that her mom will be happy.
Well, my mom will be happy. She doesn't think they should ask kids about sex because it might give them ideas.
Okay, so I do have one thing to say about this. That's how my mom was.
Mm.
If I had ever had any kind of questions, I couldn't go to my mom. Let's just say my mom did not know that I watched 90210 when I was a teenager. I watched it at my friends' houses because she thought that the same thing, like Donna's mom, that if I even think about that or I'm around anybody who's talking about it, it's going to give me the idea that I should be out doing that.
Absolutely. Luckily, you went about it in a different way. Yes. I had a big thing about not wanting to talk about it because I felt uncomfortable talking about it as a teen.
You were so funny about it.
I was so awkward about it. But then you found a different way to do it where we just watched a lot of R-rated chick flicks and such.
Right?
A lot of PG-13 and stuff.
I first started off introducing you to Friends and Dawson's Creek, and shows mm-hmm. that would discuss
bring up certain things, and
Secret Life of the American Teenager.
That one. I was like, yep. I couldn't remember the title.
And then, of course, we moved into movies. Do you remember the first time you watched When Harry Met Sally with me?
Which is one of my favorite movies ever, but the restaurant scene, I was like, I have no idea what just happened there.
I paused it after the restaurant scene. You were like, what, 7th grade,
I think? I was in 7th grade, yeah.
And I paused it after the restaurant scene. I'm like, do you know what just happened? Do you know what she's doing? And it was the only way I could talk to you about it. Because if I just tried to talk to you about these things, you would shut down and just like...
But yet, I wasn't a kid who went around and slept with every crush that I had.
But you were in 7th grade, and you were learning about these things. The Ugly Truth, I think you watched that in 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
That one was like, and some big conversations happened during that show.
Yes. But I think that was a great way to go about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think that people should just not talk about it.
I agree. I mean, okay, so here's what's funny. My mom, it was okay for us to watch the old musical Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Where they literally kidnap women and tell them, you're going to be our wives.
She was fine with me watching that because it was an old musical. But I wasn't allowed to watch 90210.
Well, good thing we're watching it now.
Yep. Sorry, Mom, if you ever hear this, but I watched it as a teenager and sucks to be you. That's the only way I learned anything.
Yeah. And I think we'll go more in depth once we get to a later scene.
For sure. So right after Donna says that about her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea starts like throwing facts at them about not just teenage pregnancies, but STDs and
all the statistics. Like,
it was as if she was reading a pamphlet, but it was all just flying out of her brain. And I was like, oh my gosh, Andrea, settle down, darling.
Everyone's just kind of staring at her like, okay, wow, this is happening. All right.
So then the Board of Education meeting, Andrea goes to talk to the board about adopting a plan to make condoms available to students at West Beverly.
She does this essentially to provoke the board.
She does.
And because she kind of gets this idea of how can we get them to actually listen to us mm-hmm. and realize that we have things to say. And so she steps up and proposes that plan. And it kind of gets the whole room to be like, wait, what?
And so it goes to vote, and they're saying, we're not voting on saying we're going to put condoms, but we're going to vote on the fact
that we should at least discuss it.
So it ends up getting a second, and it's like, okay, it's in motion now. It'll come on the floor for discussion. So it was one guy says, you know, he moves the motion to go, and this other lady says, I second that. Like, oh, Sheila? They were not happy that Sheila went ahead and seconded that motion. She's like, what? It can't hurt to talk about it.
We should at least consider it.
Which is important to know.
For later.
For later. That she specifically was the one who
seconded the motion.
Yes. So at the Peach Pit, Griffin is there bragging on Andrea.
Like, completely praising her. It's adorable.
It's so cute. Almost too much, but cute.
You guys should have seen her up there. It was great. I mean, they were practically interrogating her, but she stayed calm and stood her ground.
He gets a little carried away sometimes.
Come on, Andrea. You were brilliant. You were tough. You were inspirational.
Yeah, how was she really, John?
Which is Brandon's
How
was she really? That was such a snide comment.
It was almost an underhanded bit of jealousy there.
Almost a little bit.
And that's something that we start seeing a little bit of in Brandon at this point. And I suspect that's something that's not going to go away.
I suspect the same.
Because, again, I'm going to be very careful to not name names. But if this person ever listens, he will definitely know that we're talking about him. Sorry, dude.
Sorry.
Truth hurts. But that gentleman we discussed last week from your teenage years, after the jerk, before your wonderful husband.
Yes.
This young man who was basically the Brandon Walsh to your Andrea.
Yeah, I crushed on that kid for way too long.
But do you remember times when you would suddenly show interest in anyone else or anyone else would show interest in you? He would get so jealous. He didn't want you, but he didn't want anybody else to have you either.
He would start treating me really poorly. Start being mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind as we continue discussing this episode.
Hmm.
Keep that person in your head.
Do I have to?
No. So Nat gives Andrea a drink on the house and congratulates her on doing this. But then he says, if you were my daughter, I'd lock you up till you're 35. And then Nat's big boisterous laugh that he does.
I love his big laugh.
His big laugh is so great. It's obviously, we know Steve has a big laugh too, but it's different.
It's a different kind of big laugh. Because Steve's is always like, that like, I'm so me. Cool. Listen to my cool joke that I just made.
But whereas Nat does just, a big laugh.
Oh. He's just genuinely amusing himself.
He reminds me of Santa Claus when he does his big laugh. Yeah, it's just so, jolly.
Yeah. It makes me think of like, everyone has that one uncle or grandpa or somebody that just has a laugh.
And Who's yours? Who's your big laugh one?
Grandpa. Oh. Yeah. My grandpa that passed
2017.
Mm-hmm. And like, he had the biggest laugh. You could be downstairs at Christmas time, all of us kids, and we would hear from upstairs Grandpa's laugh and be like, oh, someone just told a good joke, or Grandpa just told one of his own jokes.
So true.
So true. But yes. Everyone knows somebody who has a big laugh. And yep. I just love Nats.
Especially not just a big laugh, but a big, genuine laugh.
Yeah, it's when it's genuine that it means a lot more.
And that's how I feel with Nat's laugh.
It's funny.
So I did take a picture of Andrea and John here because she's just like glowing happy, but
she's laughing at Nat's joke. John
Griffin is just looking at her with such adoration in his eyes.
It's adorable.
You can just see it. It's super cute.
He is crushing hard.
Oh, yeah. So we're at the Walsh house and they're hosting this parent meeting. Parents are starting to arrive and Jackie's already there with Mel, and she sees Donna and her mom come in. And she goes over to say hi, because I guess their girls have been friends forever.
It makes sense they'd know each other.
Yeah.
Hi, Felice.
Jackie, how are you?
Come see, come saw. I'm on the bug.
So when she said that, I suddenly had this realization during the episode. I kind of guessed it last week.
You started guessing it last week.
I started guessing it, but this confirmed it for me.
I had to pause it because she was like slapping her legs, like flapping excited.
Because I figured something out.
And she says, oh my gosh, she's pregnant, is what she screams at me.
Yes, and because then we pause it, and so we discuss, and I'm like, last week, she was apparently on a rampage and needed desserts, which was why Kelly was at the peach pit. And now, she's just, got a little bug. And later in the episode, there's a time where they even, like, are sitting at dinner, and she's like, ugh, all of this food, just the smell of it, I just can't, like, my stomach's just not happy. And I'm sitting there like, she's pregnant! I'm freaking out.
It was hilarious. So the parents are in there discussing / arguing about condoms or no condoms.
Oh, yes. So there's a dad who apparently knows Jim from somewhere.
Racquetball.
Something guy-like.
A dude thing.
Rich dude things, I guess. And so he goes up to Jim to talk to him, and or maybe to Cindy even, and asking like, oh, I thought this was a parents' meeting.
Yeah, it was before they really started arguing a lot.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of were like, oh, that's just my daughter and her friends. They're just here to observe.
Yep.
And we don't know if that'll change or not. At this point, they're just observers. And I believe the kids who come are...
Steve, Brandon, Brenda, Donna and Andrea.
Just those five.
Yep.
Yep. So no Dylan, no Kelly.
No David.
No David.
Yep.
So that's kind of just to kind of get an idea of which teens are there. Because that sometimes can have an impact on the emotional state of the teens.
So as the group is standing around talking or starting to argue, mm-hmm. our teens are standing off to the side. The room is packed. They have chairs set up and every chair is filled. And it is, standing room only at this point. Ooh. And Donna's mom, Felice, we learn her name here, mm-hmm. she gets up to talk.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Martin would have liked to have been here tonight, but unfortunately, he's at a medical conference, addressing his colleagues on this very subject, in fact. And I'm sure he'd be a lot better at this than me, but what he would have said to all of you is this. Year after year, the experts have been telling us that condoms are the most effective way to prevent the spread of AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. And yet, year after year, more people are getting sick. More people are dying. Children are dying. It's very clear there's a lot we don't know about this disease. It's clear something is not working. I submit condoms aren't the answer. They work when people use them right. Not always. As a concerned parent, as an educated woman, and as a member of the generation that barely survived the sexual revolution, I'm tired of kids being told, well, you really shouldn't have sex, but if you do, nod, nod, wink, wink. Here's a condom. Go have fun. No. No, we owe our children more than a mixed message.
She does have a point.
We owe them the very best guidance we can give them. And the only advice we can give in good conscience, the only 100% reliable advice, is to use that old-fashioned method that is just simply going to have to become fashionable again. And that method is abstinence.
After that, Donna decides she's no longer going to be an observer.
Andrea, say something.
And if they don't listen, which a lot of them won't, you just shrug and say, well, I told you so?
Donna, I'm sorry, Mom.
What is this, a student council meeting?
Bill, I'd like to hear what Donna has to say.
Gosh, Andre, go ahead. No. Go ahead. It's just, if you say that kids don't need condoms because they shouldn't be having sex in the first place, well, you're overlooking two very important things. One is that a lot of kids are having sex, and the other is that they are kids. I mean, it's like if you have a swimming pool in your backyard, you can tell your children not to go in it. You can even build a fence around it. But if you know that they're going to find a way into that water, don't you think you ought to teach those kids how to swim?
Go, Donna!
Well done.
Yes, and I love the metaphor she uses.
Yes, that was an amazing metaphor.
An amazing metaphor.
Because don't get me wrong, as a parent, I wholeheartedly support where Felice is coming from.
Absolutely.
But, like you were saying something earlier that I thought was really smart. People who have a faith background and an understanding of why for them they don't believe in sex before marriage. You have a better time of convincing the kids or helping them understand why it's so important.
You have reasons why you say, like, for us, because we, you know, are Christians, you stay pure until marriage because that is what God has called us to do. Yeah. That is what God wants us to do.
Now, it doesn't mean that all Christians choose to do that.
No, not all Christians do.
And I am not saying any of this to put down or condemn or make fun of anybody who doesn't choose to do that.
Yeah.
But
on either side.
With both of my daughters, I made sure they knew this is truly what we believe. This is what God teaches. You have to make your own choices for you. I wanted you guys to be knowledgeable and understand that if you make a choice that is different than ours, the same as your faith. You guys weren't raised being forced that you had to be Christians because we were Christians.
No.
Until you were an adult, you had to go to church with us because we were going to church. But if you chose a different path as an adult, that's your choice.
Yeah.
The same as if you had chosen to go sleep around town, which thank God you didn't. But had you chosen to do that, it would have been your choice.
Exactly.
I would just want you to be armed with knowledge because
the problem is
metaphor is amazing.
I love her metaphor because it's true. If you go into a swimming pool and you have no idea how to swim, or if you go into seeking sexual relationships and you have no idea how any of that works mm-hmm. emotionally or physically, you're going to be so naive, you're going to get taken advantage of.
Yep.
So the parents who truly just say, nope, never have sex. Don't have sex until you get married. And they refuse to talk about it at all after yeah. that comment. You're just setting your children up to be taken advantage of or to feel naive in conversation.
Because, absolutely.
Because that was me as a teenager. A lot of my friends were having sex and were mm-hmm. in those kinds of relationships. And they would talk about stuff and I mean, to a certain point, it was because I refused to listen, but
yeah.
But I was that naive kid who was like, I don't know at all what you guys are talking about. And it alienated me from a lot of people.
And I hope I was successful in this, but I tried to have an open communication relationship yeah. with you girls.
Absolutely.
That if you guys ever came home from school and you're like, my friends were talking about blowjobs today. What is that, Mom?
Yeah. That kind of thing happened once it in a did. While where there was and a I'd comment. Be
like, okay. And if you were open to a conversation, we would have a conversation about it.
Exactly.
Mostly your sister I would have a conversation with. You, I would have to be like, okay, what movie or TV show discusses that?
Let's see.
That I can watch and be like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah, because that was how I communicated back then, especially.
You still communicate best through TV shows. Hello, we are doing a podcast together of a 30-year-old TV show, Hannah.
I mean, that's really fair. So I am much more on the side of this debate as the kids
Me
are,
too.
Where you need to tell kids about mm-hmm. sex because they are kids. They're teenagers. What does every teenager want to do? Everything their parents told them not to do.
Yeah.
So if all you do is tell your kids not to have sex, yeah, they're going to go out and have sex.
Absolutely. So that was your PSA of the day.
Yes.
Let's carry on.
And yay for Donna for standing up
right? to that her took, mom. Right? That like major, major, major guts.
Stand especially up for Donna.
To her mom in front of a room of adults and speak her mind.
When she's not even usually comfortable with public speaking in general.
Right?
Go, Donna.
I was really proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the point where we had last week's teaser clip.
Yes.
And I do want to say something about that. So in that one, when Brandon's like, you know, what's the, you know, I'm just going to play part of it because I got to hear this again because it's super funny.
It is super funny.
Speak for yourself, bro.
No, I'm serious. Remember the time Cheryl came out from Minnesota and we... well, maybe...
The look that Jim gives Brandon right there, we had to take a picture of it because it's so funny.
Oh, it's so perfect. And like, he literally just gives these eyebrows like...
Son?
Excuse me?
Hey, before you know it, frank discussions of sexuality may be so common that we don't even think twice about it.
Well, as you say, it's a new world.
Welcome to 2021, Jim.
Yeah. Where I'm literally sitting on a couch with my mother talking about sex.
Mm-hmm. Openly having communication conversations. And even to this day, if you had a question about something, now that you're a married lady, hopefully you don't, but if you did,
no,
you could ask me. We would talk about stuff because that's what we do.
I mean, in the world in general, people just have an easier time talking mm-hmm. about sex these days. Like, it's not this, like, icky subject anymore.
Yeah. It is still to some people.
To some people it is. Yes.
So any parents out there listening, and I know that most of our listeners are around my age, female. So ladies, if your teenagers aren't talking to you about sex, it's not their fault. I'm sorry, but it's yours. It is your job as a parent to find a way to open that line of communication. If you don't have a good relationship with them, now's the time to fix that, people.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it's just never too late.
Just like Jim and Cindy were saying here with Brandon and, you know, not so much Brenda, but with Brandon, that it shouldn't be hard to talk to your kids about it because, hello, I'm pretty sure our kids know as a mom, I've had sex. Because guess what?
You've had to at least have sex twice.
Three times because your brother passed away.
Yeah.
I've at least had sex three times. I've been married for 25 years almost, dear.
Yeah.
Anywho.
I don't like to think about it, but it is something it's a fact that is in my brain.
And it's just one of those things where, as a parent, you need to be able to talk to your kids. With your sister, before her car accident, we had a hard time talking.
Yeah.
After her car accident, we got really close. And now we have very, very, very open communication. Sometimes where I'm like, girl.
Tell me less.
With Hannibal, with you, dear, you had a harder time communicating. So like we've said, I had to find what worked for you.
Exactly. But we still found a way.
Yeah. I have another story to tell about you.
Oh, no.
So when Hannibal was 9 and Abigail was 7, before we moved to Montana, we were still living in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And we were taking one last fun road trip with one of my dearest friends who had 2 sons the same age as you and your sister.
Yeah.
He's still, like, one of your dearest friends. Flew up your wedding.
Yeah, surprised me the week of my wedding and flew up.
It was great. That was a fun surprise to arrange.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, so Corey and I, my friend, our favorite music artist, probably still is my favorite artist, I still listen to this one the most, is Jason Mraz.
I love Jason Mraz.
So my kids at 7 and 9, we're singing almost every word to every Jason Mraz song.
Including Butterfly.
And if you're not familiar with the song Butterfly by Jason Mraz, go look up the lyrics. Just look up the lyrics if you don't want to listen to the song.
It is a jam if you ever want to listen to it.
Listen to it and read the lyrics while listening to it.
There you go.
So we went to the concert, and I realized afterwards, my kids know every word of this. They have no idea what this means. I should have a conversation with them and make sure that they understand what they're singing. And it was, you know.
You did wait a couple of years before you actually told me.
I did. You weren't ready.
I was not ready.
But I realized at that point I should probably stop playing that song as much. Kind of like when you were 4 and I was listening to a lot of Jimmy Buffett for a while there. Mm-hmm. Why don't we get drunk and screw?
Yes, 4-year-old me picked up on lyrics very easily.
When you're 4-year-old who's still in a 5-point harness car seat because they're so tiny, are sitting in the back of the minivan singing Why Don't We Get Drunk and Screw to the top of their lungs, it's time to reevaluate your music choices. That's what I decided. So instead, I took my child to see Jason Mraz for her first concert. It was an awesome concert.
It was a great concert, except for when Abigail got her foot stuck in the chair.
We're not discussing
that. We're not going back to that.
We're not going there. So, needless to say, find what works for your kid.
Yeah.
If it's movies, if it's music, if it's a TV show.
If it's memes.
Memes are amazing for opening conversations,
guys.
Let
me tell you, as a Gen Z kid, memes are how Gen Z communicates.
Yes. And here's the other bit of advice, parents, before we move on, because we've been ranting for a while, probably cut a lot of this. If you think your kids don't know stuff, I bet they know more than you think.
I have 10-year-olds in my after-school program that I'm sure their parents don't realize how much they truly know.
Yeah. Once your kid is hitting 9 or 10 years old, they're hearing things that you don't know. Mm-hmm. And have those conversations, guys.
Yeah.
Don't be Donna's mom.
Mm-mm.
So the next day at school, Brandon, Steve, and David are talking about the meeting. David is very, very interested in the fact that Donna was so vocal about the matter. He's going on and on about, when do you think they're going to have condoms available in school? I think I should start, you know, getting some and being ready. And Steve just gets some looks and like, just go to the drugstore and get some.
Yeah, like everybody else.
Then Andrea, they see, is being interviewed by the TV news on campus.
Yeah.
In the newspaper room, there's a TV news crew in there interviewing her.
Yeah, like the door is shut. There's a crowd of teenagers outside.
Yeah. It's a little interesting.
Yeah.
And then it gets even more interesting when Miss Teasley comes up to Brandon. And it's very awkward.
It's very awkward.
Poor Miss Teasley. I do feel for her.
I feel for her.
Of course she's entitled to speak her own mind, but being interviewed on campus without clearing it first puts me in a very awkward position, and now she's insisting that the Blaze do its own sex survey and all sorts of unrealistic demands.
Well, you know, Andrea, she just gets real passionate about the issues.
Well, perhaps you can help her tone down some of that passion. The last thing any of us want to see is her jeopardize her position as editor on the paper.
I'll talk to her.
Thanks, Brandon.
Poor Miss Teasley. She's stuck in a really, really awkward position.
Because she does very much respect Andrea, and she wants to let them have the paper just be their own thing. I very much understand the position that she's in. Because I've had times like that where I'm like, guys, I love that you guys are having fun, and I think that this is actually not that bad. But according to this place's rules, I can't let you do that. Mm-hmm. I'm in a position where I cannot let you do that. That is breaking the rules. You can't be having
these conversations.
You can't. You can't do that stuff.
Yeah.
At least not here.
There are certain rules, and so I get it, Ms. Teasley. Her hands are tied. She has to be like, Andrea cannot, especially, okay, Andrea, you had them come and interview you on campus without clearing it through the school staff, through anybody. Girl, bad move.
Bad move.
Bad move.
But I do like that Mrs. Teasley gave her, she didn't just jump straight to punishing her for it.
She gave a buddy a chance to go stop her.
Yeah, be like, give her some warning. And tell her that she needs to back off a little bit.
Yeah. So we move over to seeing the Silvers and the Taylors at dinner. This is what you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
They're at a little, looks like a sushi restaurant. Like,
yeah.
Sitting on the floor, kind of short tables.
Proper Japanese katatsu.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Yes. And Jackie's, does this smell bad to you? Having people smell it. And,
they're like, it smells fine.
I'll just take some tea. And she's just... Not Helen.
She didn't say tea. She says water.
Oh, she did say water? Okay.
I think she just says water.
I don't remember.
But she very much is like, I can't eat.
So they're all talking about the sex survey and condoms. And Kelly's just like, I'm sick of this. She says, as much as I agree that, yes, it is important that
kids have this,
I'm sick of hearing about it. And I don't think it belongs in school. So it was kind of interesting to see Kelly... on that side of the argument.
Yeah, where she thinks that it's important for kids to have the knowledge, but we don't need to have condoms in the school.
Which I kind of agree with.
I do think that's a little far. I think it's
important to have the information.
Yes.
But if you want to do it, go buy your own stinking condom.
You need to go through the embarrassment of going up to the counter and asking the cashier.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. So then at school, the next day, David is telling Steve about his experience at the drugstore. And how the person there was asking over the loudspeaker the prices and being really, like, embarrassing about it. Exactly what you were just saying.
Exactly.
And then David pulls out this, like, paper lunch bag size bag.
Like, it's big.
It's a good size bag. It's, like, half filled
with condoms. So many different kinds.
And Steve was like, what, did you get one of everything? And David was like, do you need some? Here, take some. It's like... I'm good, thanks.
I'm okay.
It's a lot of condoms.
It's a lot.
So at this point, Kelly comes up to Brandon, Donna, and Dylan. And...
she's upset.
She's upset, for sure.
Brandon, I don't know what you people from the Blaze are trying to accomplish, but I would appreciate it if you'd leave me out of it.
What are we doing?
The personal journals.
Oh, that. Your name just came up. If you don't want to do it...
I don't want to do it.
Would you like us to leave so you two can...
No, Andre's trying to round up some people to write about some personal experiences, that's all.
Some personal sexual experiences. For the school newspaper of all things, I'd rather die. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either.
Yeah, man, it goes for me too, bro. Scratch my name off that list. Yeah, I hear you. Look, I'll tell Andre you said no, okay?
Andre Zuckerman doesn't always take no for an answer. Now she actually wants us to go and hand out condoms on the street.
She wants us to do what?
She wants us to do what?
Huh? When even Brandon is confused.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he is a part of the newspaper.
He's on the editorial staff.
And yet there are things that she's doing that he's not aware of.
Yeah. So he decides, you know what? I need to go talk to Andrea and Griffin. And he goes and confronts them.
Excuse me. When do we start giving out condoms?
No, not condoms. Just these informational packets they sent over.
Who sent over?
My uncle. He's a psychologist. He's affiliated with this theater group in West Hollywood. They do a show on safer sex, and they have a question and answer period, and afterwards they hand out these informational packets to people who request them.
Well, now, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm still on the editorial board of this paper. I should have been consulted about this, shouldn't I?
We had to make a decision.
Can I talk to you for a second? Why are you so obsessed about this? You told me the school board is going to vote 3-2 in favor of your proposal.
My sources definitely think they're going to postpone the vote. If they do, this gives us something to bargain with.
What do you mean?
In Massachusetts, some kids took action on their own. Of course, they were handing out condoms, but the school board sat down and negotiated with them. Besides, it's for a good cause. It's a community service project whose sole purpose is to educate kids about AIDS and safer sex.
Andre, I'm not knocking the project. It's the protocol. I should have been asked about this, not told.
I'm sorry, Brandon, you're never around anymore.
Hey, I was working. I have a job, remember?
I know, but this thing has momentum. It has got a life of its own.
Maybe you should get a life of your own before it's too late.
Excuse me?
You know, sometimes you get so caught up in your quest to save the world, you don't see that you're alienating people.
Like who?
Just trust me on this, okay? The only people who ever respond to these in-your-face tactics are already on your side.
I know what this is about. You're jealous.
Jealous?
Yes. You can't stand it that John Griffin got on TV and you didn't. And now you resent me because I'm in the spotlight.
So I got it all figured out, huh? You got me all figured out. Everything in the world is black and white, cut and dry. But let me tell you something, it isn't. Not with me, and not with an issue like having condoms in school.
I'm sorry, you're wrong. The statistics are black and white. There are proven facts. People just don't want to admit it.
And what you don't want to admit is that you don't know that much about the other part of it. The part that doesn't show up in statistics or surveys.
And what, pray tell, is that?
The feelings. The sex. Andre, if you had a little more experience, you'd know that love is not a public health issue.
Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
So I have many feelings about this argument.
Yes.
First off, I mostly agree with Brandon. Mostly.
Mostly.
I think he went wrong right at the end there. He should not have made that comment about her inexperience. That was wrong of him, mm-hmm. and that was overstepping a boundary that I feel like shouldn't have been crossed.
Okay.
And I feel like it only made Andrea mad. She was already heated, but throwing that jab in there was just too far.
Mm-hmm.
But until that point, I 100% agree with Brandon.
Yeah.
I think Andrea was looking too much at statistics. She was getting caught up in the motion of things and wasn't stopping. I mean, she wasn't checking things with Mrs. Teasley. She wasn't even checking things with the other people on the editorial board.
She was just, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. It was just going too fast.
Which I get that that's how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not take the time through that kind of a process, you won't have the time. It will just snowball over top of you.
Now, I would also like to comment on the fact that somebody who, we're just going to use their names in this, Brandon, for instance, he has been on both sides. He has been the virgin and mm-hmm. he has been the experienced one.
Exactly.
You can see both sides.
Right.
If you are still the virgin, if you are the Andrea, you can't see. There's no way you can see that other side.
But then what you need to do is you need to find someone who does have that perspective.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know to ask questions about it because you don't know that you should be asking questions about it.
Yeah.
All you have is statistics and facts.
Yeah. And I do understand
I want to say I'm not like saying I support Andrea or I support Brandon in this.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate and absolutely show you that
there is two sides.
There are two sides to this completely.
And honestly, they both went a little bit wrong here.
Yes, they did.
The fact that Brandon was being very calm and reasonable, upset but reasonable, mm-hmm, up until she started accusing him of being jealous.
And in this situation, if that was anyone else, if that was Steve, if that was Dylan, if that was anyone else coming up and having that conversation with her, she would not have reacted the way she did. I'm sure of it. But
the problem is that there was no one else to have that conversation because she wouldn't have taken them seriously.
Also, she wouldn't have gotten all butt hurt if it was anybody else. But because it's Brandon, because she does have feelings for him, it's a hard situation.
They're teenagers, so they don't know how to handle these kind of conversations.
Think about this. Okay, I'm going to use other people from your past.
Okay.
The one person.
Okay.
Or the brother person. At the same exact point in your life, they were friends. If the one dude came up and said this kind of stuff to you, you would have been steaming mad, crying, hurt, going crazy. If the brother person, friend of yours, came up and said these exact same things to you, and said, hey, you were out of line, you should have talked to so-and-so first, you would have been like,
yeah, I didn't you're right
think about it like that, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you're right, I should have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
The perspective of who it's coming from. Brandon should not have, no, he knows that she is in love with him.
Yeah.
We saw that last week. We discussed that. And we've seen it even more this week and more coming up soon.
Yeah.
That he should have been more sensitive to the fact. So that's why I kind of side more with Andrea on this.
Yeah.
And just the fact that Brandon should have shut his big trap and not
brought up
about
your inexperience.
About anything personal about it. Just like from a business perspective, you should have talked to me. When he was saying, I should have been asked, not told about this.
He was right.
100% agree with him.
Absolutely.
It was when he started moving beyond that about, you know, this topic.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, but dude, see, shut your mouth.
It was at that point that she suddenly went, ah, I see what it is. You're jealous.
That's why. Because there's too close of a relationship type feeling there that she wants there to be. She wants him to be jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really hard.
So hard.
They both were wrong, and yet they both were right.
Absolutely.
It's just one of those awkward mm-hmm situations.
Yep.
But Andrea is much better at holding a grudge than Brandon is.
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah. She's really good at holding a grudge. So then we see Andrea walking down the hall, and you could see that Brandon's words were affecting her.
She's suddenly, they've staged the hallway in a way where she's walking past every group of people she walks past is couples.
Couples.
Couples. Couples.
Giggling,
couples,
kissing, holding hands, loving on each other.
Taking up the whole hallway with stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
And she's just, you can see her turning into more and more like the shell, this wall building around herself.
Like, and it's almost like she's returning back to Andrea that we first met in season one.
Season one, the beginning of season one.
The beginning. Yes. And she's just like shrinking.
Yep. So she's just very, very disturbed by all this. You can visibly see that on her.
Yeah, she's upset. So she goes into the newsroom and John tells her that they actually got a submission for the special edition.
Yeah.
Because they were doing this special edition of The Blaze with personal stories.
The thing that Kelly wanted nothing to do with and Dylan, all the rest are like, nah, we don't want to be anything.
I don't blame them. I don't blame them because talking about personal stories is hard unless it's anonymous.
Yeah. But this apparently they don't want it to be anonymous because here's the thing. I can see this why. If it's anonymous, people can say that's just a made up story. That's not real.
But having an actual name of somebody you know,
it makes it real.
It makes it personal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the part nobody wants to deal with.
Yeah.
But John tells her about this submission that's mm-hmm titled, So, I'm a Virgin. And just hearing that title, because I think he reads it out or she reads it on the paper.
He reads it to her and then she's just like,
I gotta go. I can't.
And she doesn't even read it. She refuses to even read it.
She just leaves and goes. And John is very confused and left behind, kind of looking a little hurt.
Yeah, a little bit. So she leaves the newsroom. She goes into the bathroom to get away from it all. And she sees Kelly and Brenda are in there, mm-hmm. and they're talking about how we're not doing the story. She's like, I know, Brandon told me. Yeah. Okay, we just want to make sure. That's too much.
That's just too far.
And so then she leaves the bathroom, just like, I can't get away from this anywhere. And Brandon is waiting for her outside the bathroom door because he saw her go in.
Avoiding a certain someone?
Yeah, she'd been avoiding him, and he noticed that. And so he starts to talk to her, like, you know, he wants to apologize. He wants to...
Which I think was really respectful.
It was very respectful. She doesn't take it so well, though.
No.
I don't want you to think I don't respect what you've been doing. It's hard to be outspoken. I respect that.
That's not what you said yesterday.
Well, there were a lot of things I said yesterday I'd like to take back. See, I also have to tell you, I can't make it to the board meeting tonight. That kind of work. But I want to wish you the best of luck. You worked hard for this. Feel free to jump in anytime.
I don't have much to say for once.
Listen, by yesterday, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
You know, it was bad enough being reminded how inexperienced I am. But hearing you apologize for it, it's even worse.
So the difficult thing, Hannah and I did kind of disagree on this a little bit, and here's, mm-hmm. you go ahead and say what you were thinking.
So I feel like this was good of Brandon to do. I feel like Andrea deserved an apology. He gave an apology, and even though she didn't accept it, he still gave the apology.
Yeah.
That I've taught my kids that sometimes you give an apology and someone's not going to accept it, but you still need to apologize when you've done something wrong.
I agree. The part that I disagree with is the fact that when you were saying off air, you were talking about the fact that Andrea went overboard, but it's like rubbing salt in a wound.
Yeah.
It's...
He could have waited a little longer.
Yeah, and it was just... It honestly didn't matter when he did it. It was going to hurt her. It was going to remind her of that. It was going to just be... Just turn the knife while it's stabbed into my gut. Just turn it. Make it hurt worse. And it needed to happen. He needed to apologize.
But Andrea's just not ready to accept the apology yet.
No. So it's understandable that she's so hurt. It is understandable.
And so that's why she reacts this way. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like the actual apology Brandon gives...
It was very nice.
It was a very kind apology.
Absolutely.
Very much admitting, hey, there are things I wish I didn't say. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings with the things I said.
Yep. But she was trying hard to forget that her feelings were hurt because...
But that's not healthy.
It's not healthy. Oh, I agree. But I understand why she felt that way. It's a very human emotion.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
It was a very well-written emotion.
Definitely. Goodness. So, the Rosens.
Yeah. So then we're at the board meeting that night. They're voting on if they should allow condoms to be handed out in schools. The initiative to push this in and make this happen.
Yeah.
So it comes down, it's a tie. There's one deciding vote. This one lady is the one who's...
Sheila. The one who mm-hmm. seconded the motion the first time.
Yep.
She's the last one to say yay or nay. She's the deciding vote.
And it comes down to her, and she's kind of silent for a second, and you could just see the tension in the room was rising. And she says nay.
While looking directly at Donna's mom.
Very pointedly looking at her.
And Donna's mom was kind of giving her this look like, you better answer correctly.
And then after she said nay, Donna's mom mouthed, thank you. I was like, I'm sorry?
So Donna's mom swayed the vote.
Yes.
I'm not entirely mad about it because I do think that the condoms in schools was maybe a bit too far.
A lot of schools, this was the time they were starting to do that.
Yeah, I also feel like I do kind of agree with Kelly. Like, the conversation needs to happen. You shouldn't have canceled the survey.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that Andrea did this thing because it brought it...
It brought it to a conversation.
It brought it to a conversation, at least.
So then we hear Brenda telling them that this lady Sheila and Donna's mom are best friends. That's why she sided with Donna's mom. Originally, she was with the kids. Like, that's a good idea. And then, of course, Felice comes into it and buddy, friend, let's not do this.
Since you guys can't see me, I'll let you know I just rolled my eyes very hard.
Yeah. I think every mom out there heard you roll your eyes just now.
It's the rattle.
So the group is wanting to stand up to the board. John's saying that, you know, we should go hand out those packets for my uncle. And Donna's like, yeah, let's do this. She gets everybody riled up and we should go and hand out those packets to show them. And if we can't stand up to the board and get the condoms in the school, we should at least
get the knowledge
out there. Knowledge out there and show them that we're not done having this conversation.
Which I really respect.
Me too. That was really cool.
Yeah.
But Andrea is very clearly down in the dumps and she walks off. Like, she's not going to be a part of this. She just walks away.
Yep.
Then we move over to a moment of comic relief. At the Peach Pit, Dylan is just sitting there trying to peacefully eat his dinner. And what is David doing? Pestering him about, how do you rent a hotel room to seduce a girl?
He's not even eating dinner. Poor Dylan's just sipping black coffee.
Oh, was he? I thought he was eating at one point.
No, he's sipping black coffee, just looking like he wants to be anywhere but right there.
It was hilarious. Because then, of course, the David's saying, you know,
Brenda
told Donna and Kelly that
you rented a hotel room at the dance.
And he's like, She said what? And he does not like his stuff aired publicly, and he was like, nah.
He pieces out of the Peach Pit immediately.
And he's just like, I'm Bye. Done with you, David. Basically, he's just like, leaves David alone, like, you're on your own, buddy. They said something about, it's all about timing.
Yes.
And it's about timing. You just got to figure that out. It's all Bye. About timing. And he's just so done.
I don't blame Dylan.
But then Dylan shows up to the Walsh's to pick Brenda up for a date. And you can tell he came immediately from the Peach Pit to pick her up. Mm-hmm. While she's getting ready, he sees her notebook on her bed with what she was writing for the Blaze.
Yes.
What's this, Brent?
Oh, it's for the Blaze, the special edition.
Like hell it is. As often as you read about girls who become pregnant unintentionally, you cannot imagine the feelings until you believe you are in the situation yourself. You were going to print that?
I am going to print it.
I don't kiss and tell. I don't talk about my conquests in the locker room.
Dylan, I know you don't. Look, I'm not saying anything that's untrue or even embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing, but it's very personal to me, and you are not going to print it.
Dylan, come on. I mean, I can just redo it. It's not as if I don't remember what I wrote.
I wish you'd forget it.
Dylan, wait a second. Are you leaving?
Are you going to go ahead with this?
Dylan.
Good night, Dylan.
Dylan, wait!
So she chases after him because he straight up starts like fleeing the washes.
He tears that paper out of her notebook and crumples it up. And he goes outside and like throws it out in the bushes. Like, that's going to stop anything, Dylan?
Yeah.
He was having a bit of a temper tantrum moment.
A little bit.
And suddenly, Brenda turns very calm and mature.
Tell me why you're so upset.
I can't believe you.
Dylan, I was only writing that piece because I think there's a need for it. I was scared to death when I thought I was pregnant. It would help me so much to know that there was someone else out there our age who had been through it.
You wrote about something very personal that I was involved in for the whole school to read. You didn't even ask me how I felt.
I'm sorry I didn't see it that way.
Yeah. You have good intentions, Brent. But right now I need to keep my private life very, very private. I thought you knew that.
Dylan, I was writing about me. About my feelings.
They're gonna know who the guy is, Brad. How many boyfriends have you had at West Beverly?
One. And I'd like to keep it that way.
I totally get where Dylan's coming from. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be that hard for Brenda to just leave out if it happened in Minnesota. This could have happened with a guy in Minnesota. Nobody has to know that it had to be here. They didn't all, the whole school didn't know she was a virgin and Dylan was her first.
Yeah.
So.
Or just change the names. Because just having names on it makes it more personal.
Right? But literally make up a name.
Be like, it was random dude number one and random girl number one.
Yeah. But you know? Well, they're supposed to sign it. That's the thing. They're supposed to say who's telling the story. Okay, so tell it's you, that's fine, but just say, you know, because I mean, she had a year of high school in Minnesota before moving here. So anyhow, that's my only bone to pick with Dylan about this.
But I love the way that Brenda handles him.
Yes.
Instead of giving into his temper tantrum and getting mad back, she handles it essentially like a mom would, where she goes, why are you mad? Let me explain myself.
Let's discuss this.
Let's discuss this.
And then right at the end when she's like, she just turns around and goes inside and basically is like, you're coming in now. And
I don't even think she tells him to follow.
I don't remember how she said it. Did she tell him to follow or did she just like...
I think she says, why didn't you come inside? But without waiting for him to follow her...
She just turns around and
leaves the door open behind her.
Not in a storming off manner, just very peaceful and calm. Just goes in, leaves the door open.
Expecting him to follow.
Yep. And he does.
And he just very calmly follows inside. We don't see the rest of their argument. But
this is a different Brenda than we saw season one.
Yeah, a different Brenda than we even saw at the beginning of season two. Because
she's matured a lot this season.
She really has. Between what happened with her and Dylan, and then everything that happened to her over the summer, and everything that's happened so far this school year, she's just really leveled out and mellowed.
Yep, she's come into herself.
Yes. Yes. And I love seeing this side of Brenda.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yep. Brenda has definitely grown, and it's neat to see.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day at school... John is telling the group that had gotten together the day before and discussed, we're going to do this. They're now together getting their instructions because they're about to actually go do this.
Yeah, they're like handing out boxes of pamphlets and stuff.
Yeah, so they have this community service project. They're going to go hand out these pamphlets. Kelly is trying so hard to get out of it. Can we just go have retail therapy instead? I don't want to do this. Can we go shopping? And Brenda's like, no, no, you can do this. And try to be very encouraging to her.
But she also kind of does the, like, we can retail therapy tomorrow.
Yeah. And then Kelly just suddenly is like, I just can't do this. And she just leaves.
She sets down the packets that she was holding and she pieces out.
Completely.
Andrea's kind of sitting back from the group.
Yeah. So as the group is getting ready to leave, Andrea doesn't follow them.
The group just kind of disperses.
So as the group is leaving and Andrea is staying and not following them out, John comes over and tries to talk with her, flirt with her, and get her to come with them. It's going to be so great. You should come. And she's just like, no, you go ahead and go. I'll catch up later. And then he leaves. And that's when we see Brandon stayed behind the rest of the group. And he wants to be able to talk to her and make up with her. About,
for real.
For real. And try to be like, okay, we got to move past this kind of attitude.
Yeah.
You're not coming, are you?
Well, you and John can handle this fine without me.
Come on, Andrea. Step on my foot. Give me a face rake, an eye gouge, something. I don't know. Just stop making me feel so guilty, okay?
Brandon, let me just clarify something for you. I'm the one whose feelings were hurt here.
Ah, so I'm the hurter and you're the hurtee, is that it?
Exactly.
You sure you don't want to come?
Yeah. I'm tired and I'm a little burned out, and if I never hear the word condom again, it will be too soon.
Oh, good. Let's just use sign language.
Or not, and say we did. Go ahead, they're waiting for you.
Okay.
Brandon handles this beautifully because he starts off with basically, in a funny kind of almost jokingish way, letting her know that she's gone too far with this. Just step on my foot, hit me, something. And it's kind of that, like...
It was one comment.
Yeah.
One conversation, and yet she's taking several days to hold it against him. She's taking it too far at this point.
She's butthurt.
She's just being butthurt.
There's no way about it. And his... He had to go to an extremist level to snap her out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment that made me go, aha. It is on top of the fact that... She still has massive feelings for him. She is so burnt out and exhausted and just overwhelmed.
She's just checked out.
Yeah, she's just done. And so some of her snappiness...
was because she was just exhausted.
We've all been to that point. When you're just really overworked, overtired...
It's been a long day at work.
You've poured too much of yourself into something that you're passionate about. No matter how excited and passionate you are about it, you're just like, I'm just tired.
I'm done.
I just want to be done with this. That's where Andrea's at.
I get it.
I do too. And I think that this moment was perfect. Brandon, he does know her well enough to figure out just how to handle her.
He's like, so I'm the herder, you're the herdy.
I love this. I'm the herter, you're the hertie. And just the way he emphasized that cracked me up.
And because it makes her smile in the moment.
Yep.
And but then he just straight up doesn't acknowledge any of it. Mm-mm. He doesn't try to continue apologizing.
Nope. He just lets it lie.
Just okay.
And just, okay, so.
All right.
You're not going? All right.
Bye.
And she's just like, okay, you go ahead and go. And that was a moment you can tell they've made nice.
She's let it go a little bit more now.
Yep. Then we see Kelly comes back in because she left her chemistry book in there when she stormed out earlier.
Yeah.
And so she asks Andrea why she didn't go with everybody else. And they have this really sweet bonding moment.
Andrea, what's the matter? Why didn't you go with them?
Couldn't be that much of a hypocrite. I mean, who am I to try to educate people about safer sex when I've never... You're probably much better off. Easy for you to say. You could have any guy you want. No, I can't. Name one guy you ever wanted who turned you down.
Brandon Walsh.
Brandon?
Yeah. Last year at the spring dance, he told me he thinks of me like a sister. You're still really stuck on him, aren't you?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because we always want what we can't have.
At least you've had something. Andre, wait just a second. When I was a freshman, I threw myself at a senior who pushed me into a bush and never talked to me again. For the next year and a half, I spent all my time trying to live up to that reputation. And now, even though I've changed, I never know whether a guy asks me out because he likes me or because he thinks I'm easy.
I'm sorry, that's terrible.
So don't sit here feeling sorry for yourself. You're not missing out on anything you can't do later on. Me? I can never go back.
I have a lot of feelings about this conversation because I have been Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
I was Andrea for a very long time because growing up, I was always the one kid in every friend group who said, I'm never having sex until I'm married. Pretty much every single one of my other friends, no matter what age I was talking about, planned to at some point. They may not have had it, or maybe they did, they already had, but I was always the virgin. I straight up, we were playing a game one time on a bus ride where it was like a who's most likely to kind of guessing game, and somebody answered the question of, you know, who in this group is most likely to become a 40-year-old virgin, and they said my name.
Oof.
And yeah. That was always me. And
me
so
too.
I always had this feeling of, am I really missing out? And having been the person who did wait, it is nothing you can't do once it means something. Whether it
right.
be your husband or wife or a forever partner or even just somebody who's really special to you. Whatever your life path is, your first time should be special.
Because once it's gone,
you
can't go back.
You're only a virgin once. Like... Mm-hmm. Once you have sex for the first time, that's gone forever. You only lose your virginity once.
Yep.
So it is reasonable that you should treat it as something special.
Yeah.
Even if it's may not be, if you don't plan to be a person who waits until marriage, and you're just waiting until it's the right person, that's okay. It's okay to wait. It's okay for you to be ready whenever you are.
For sure.
Or to be okay with waiting.
Yep.
So I am really glad that Kelly got to have this conversation with Andrea.
Agreed. I also think it was really good for Andrea to hear Brandon turned Kelly down. And he sister-zoned Kelly.
Yeah.
He didn't even sister-zone Andrea.
He at least considered it with Andrea.
Yeah. He maybe friend-zones her, But he never did that. You're like a sister to me. He's never done that to Andrea.
No, he hasn't. He, even after all of that happened at the end of season one, they never fully talked about it.
Nope. But you could see the look on Andrea's face. Like, she was almost like, oh. It's like,
he was willing to do that kind of stuff with me.
But not
Callie?
It gave her a little self-esteem boost.
Yeah. And I think it was also important for her to hear Kelly's side, mm-hmm. where sometimes not everybody who comes off as the easy to get kind of person, hear the air quotes.
We heard him.
But not everybody who is in that world, not everybody lost their virginity in a positive way.
Nope.
So even if they may seem okay with it now, it's not always the case.
All right, so let's carry on discussing about our little virgin girl here.
Yes.
So Andrea's coming down the stairs and she sees John is still at school. And so she calls him over and she's just like, why are you still here?
Tom, what are you doing here?
I decided not to go.
Why?
Well, I've gone on these field trips with my uncle and the group before, and I don't know, I wasn't up for it today. I guess I just don't feel like part of the gang.
Is it Brandon?
No, I like Brandon. Everybody does. It's just the little comments here and there, the in-jokes. Without you, I guess I just feel like an outsider, you know?
I sure do.
It's like what I wrote in that essay. Just because you have four hooves doesn't mean you have to follow the herd.
What essay was that?
The one you didn't want to read.
Is that the one about feeling like the last version of Earth?
Yeah.
You wrote that?
Yeah.
Look, if I were to go to West Hollywood to be with the others, would you go with me?
Well, sure.
And if I wanted to go to the movies afterwards, would you take me?
I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, and in that moment, he has this, like, they're just talking, and then suddenly he breaks out into this very sweet little grin, like, I thought you'd never ask.
Oh, they're so precious.
This boy has been crushing on Andrea for probably a really long time. If he's been on the paper and he's on the editorial board, they've probably been in the newspaper for a long time. Who knows how long he's been crushing?
Right?
It's super cute.
I'm quite amused, though, when he's like saying he didn't feel like part of the group. She's like, is it Brandon? No, I like Brandon. Everybody does. It's just that, like, ugh.
Like, I mean, yeah, I like him because he's a likable person, but ugh, everybody likes Brandon.
Right.
And I think that was a little bit of that competitiveness against Brandon.
Yep.
Because he knows John is a very smart boy. He's probably figured out Andrea likes Brandon. Brandon doesn't really like Andrea, but doesn't really want her to have anybody else.
Yeah.
And John likes Andrea. So he's kind of got this, like, he and Brandon are starting to have
a weird triangle going on here.
It's a weird little triangle that's starting to pop up. And part of me kind of hopes that John sticks around, because I think this will be good for Brandon.
I think it'll be good for Andrea.
To have somebody who genuinely is just interested in her.
Somebody paying attention to her for the sake of her.
Not because it's a last minute, I think I'm about to leave town, but then I'm not. And she hasn't had that before.
Nope, she hasn't. So it's really sweet. They're going to go on a date.
I love that.
It's adorable. All right, so then we're at Donna's house. And Donna said earlier, we didn't discuss, I don't think, that her parents were going to be out of town so they can watch this MTV special at her house.
Yes. And
David is like,
perfect timing.
Wow.
Perfect
timing. He has, like, porn music going through his head right now.
Yeah, he's a horny teenage boy.
Very much so. So she and David, they're going to watch this show. And David's pulling out his wallet so he can help pay for the pizza. And she says, don't worry, I got it. And, well, a condom falls out of his wallet. And he just lets it lay there next to the pizza box.
Well, at first, he doesn't realize it's fallen out.
But then when he does, he just, it's fine, let it be there. And so she is like,
suddenly extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah. And she's like, what is that? He's like, oh, do you want a different kind? I've got others.
And then she's like, what?
What?
She thinks
he's joking. Yeah, she thinks he's joking there because she kind of laughs it off. Then they start kissing some.
And he starts taking it a little bit further than just making out.
Yeah, she's like...
Wait.
Whoa. She stops him.
Wait. I'm beginning to think you aren't kidding.
Oh, why would I be kidding? It's like you said, if you're in a pool, you gotta swim.
Wait a second. I'm over here on the chaise lounge.
What?
I don't intend to sleep with you.
Oh, it's too soon. I can see that.
No, I'm not gonna do that with anybody.
You mean ever?
Well, with my husband, of course. I mean, I'm not entering a convent or anything, for God's sake.
Wait a second, what about all that stuff you said at the parents' meeting?
Well, I just don't want kids to get sick or worse because their parents have their heads stuck in the sand. I mean, AIDS is not the only sexually transmitted disease. There's lots of others. For instance...
I know. Look, I don't have any of those, I swear.
I know, I believe you. It's just, right now, for me, life is complicated enough without getting involved in a sexual relationship.
So I guess driving to Vegas is out of the question.
I hope you're not too upset.
No, I'm not really. I'm actually kind of relieved.
That was the really cute moment.
It really was.
When David kind of acknowledges, I don't really actually feel ready. He felt almost that little bit of pressure that he
kind of... The social pressure,
mm-hmm. And also having heard that Donna was vocally out, like, speaking out about the subject.
Yeah.
Like, at the parents' meeting. And he only heard about it. But then it kind of gave him this, like, is she wanting
that? Is that what she's wanting from me? I guess I better get ready.
Yeah. And sure, he was excited because he's a boy.
He's a teenage boy.
Boys are kind of like that. And, but then when he finds out that, no, I don't actually want to do that. We have no pressure to do that. We can just be us. And then he just sort of is like, I'm actually relieved. Can I have some pizza?
I really am so proud of Donna in this episode because not only is she able to stand up and say, I think it's right that kids get education and they get access to these things.
You need to teach them how to swim.
But she's making a personal decision to not swim.
I'm over here on the chaise lounge.
I was dying laughter when she said that. It was so cute. But that to me is the ideal situation because she's making that a personal choice.
Yes, and that's what it should be.
It's not somebody telling her. It's not ignorance. It's not being naive. No. She knows the facts. She knows it all because not from her mom, but from other people. And she's making that choice. So go, Donna. I'm really proud of her.
Having been there personally, that is a really hard point to be able to vocalize to people.
Yeah.
And say that I'm choosing not to, but I do acknowledge that it is a personal choice. And
you be you.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody can accept that kind of standpoint.
Nope. So there's one more scene in this episode before the episode is done. We see Kelly sitting on her bed, talking on the phone, and her mom comes in, like this very wide-eyed look on her face.
She looks terrified.
And Kelly just tells her friend, whoever's talking to, probably Brenda, I gotta go. Yeah, my mom's here. She needs to talk. So she hangs up the phone, and Jackie sits on the bed.
Kelly, I want you to promise me that you will never, ever have unprotected sex, not even once.
What are you talking about? What does it matter?
I'm pregnant.
So, I was right.
Yep.
My prediction was correct. I'm very proud of myself for that prediction. But it's going to be very interesting to see in the coming weeks how that plays out. Because now, Kelly and David are going to have a step-sibling.
Yep.
Oh, this is going to be fun. So and that's how they end the episode.
Yeah. Real quick behind the scenes thing.
Okay.
The reason they wrote this storyline in is because the actress got pregnant in real life.
Really?
And she came to them and was like, I'm pregnant.
You probably shouldn't put Jackie in as much.
Yeah. She's kind of just like, I don't know, what do you guys want to do? And so they've been leading up to this for a while, as we've seen,
mm-hmm.
because they knew she was pregnant. They've been building this storyline coming.
Yeah. And I love when shows do that
kind of stuff. Instead of trying to hide it or doing the jokey hide, like, oh, there's nothing to see here. And you can tell the person's very clearly pregnant. It's Jackie. She's supposed to be a supermodel in her past.
Right.
So
they can't exactly just hide it.
Yeah.
It would make no sense to suddenly do the thing like in Everybody Loves Raymond. There was one time where like she was just always in bed or behind a counter or something.
So in New Girl, the season where she falls down and and breaks her foot and is out in a wheelchair the whole time.
Yeah.
That's because she was pregnant in real life.
Right. And so they just put her in a wheelchair so
they could hide her belly easier.
Exactly. She was having like blankets and baggy clothes and stuff.
Yeah. She was in bed healing or in a wheelchair. And
oh, yeah.
So shows do that sometimes. But this one they chose to write the pregnancy in. The actress was actually pregnant.
Which is very interesting to do.
Yeah. But that is how the show ends with Jackie, I'm pregnant.
And then Kelly's pure shock.
So before we do ratings and reviews, I do want to tell you the next episode title.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 22, And Baby Makes 5.
Now I understand why you wouldn't let me see the DVD menu screen.
Yep. So on the DVDs, it has 3 episodes per DVD.
Mm-hmm.
The last 2 episodes, Baby Makes 5 is episode 3 on this DVD. I have been sitting here every week when she comes over to watch it. I have to have it queued up ready to go. Or if I'm like, oh, look away, Hannah. I got to put it on the menu
screen. It also has it written on the front of the DVDs.
Yes.
So I couldn't even like just open the DVD case.
I wouldn't let her touch it.
No.
Because I didn't want her to know because she would figure it out. And she figured it out anyways. Or but still.
Yeah. I would start trying to investigate and be like, and Baby Makes 5. What would be 5? Who would be 5?
So anywho, that's a fun one. Hannibal, yes. Real quick, what are your ratings and reviews? We've been going long today. Oh, we never took a break.
Oh.
Well, I guess that was fun. That happened.
Well, there we go.
Ratings and reviews. What do you think?
I quite enjoyed this one. I think they covered this very sensitive topic in a very graceful way.
Agreed.
And in a way that was respectful of all sides of the debate.
For sure.
Whereas normally sometimes shows can pull one side or the other.
They're very biased a lot of times.
Yeah. But this one was biased on one side, but yet still respectful of the other.
Yes.
And I really, really appreciated that. So I gave this one an 8.
Nice.
Yeah.
I really liked this one too. And like we discussed last week, the fact that I don't always like the filler episodes. I like the ones that are the overarching story builders. This one, it's building and growing the story so much in so many ways. We saw John and Andrea. We saw the Brandon-Andrea weirdness. The John and Brandon, you know, potential
jealousy issues.
You know, the storyline now, Baby Makes 5 coming up.
Exactly.
I loved it. I gave it a 7.5, though.
Okay.
I didn't quite go all the way up to an 8, but I liked it a lot better than last week. But it's just like, it's that building. And now we're building back up to it. You can feel it. The ratings are going to get building, too. Are you excited to hear a preview for next week?
Yes, please.
Here's your teaser.
Come on, Dylan. What are we doing for Valentine's Day? You're driving me crazy.
What's the general idea?
All Brandon would tell me is that it's something very romantic.
It is.
Then give me some details. Come on, another hint, something.
Okay. It's red. And it's warm.
You're giving me a sweater?
No, it's a little more intimate than that.
A red flannel lingerie?
Funny. No, it's closer to your heart.
Red, warm, and close to my heart. I don't have a clue.
Good.
A necklace?
I specifically pulled that one because I wanted you to be trying to figure it out because I know how much you hate surprises.
I hate surprises. And I feel like Brenda also hates surprises.
Yes.
Another episode where I'm going to be like, I feel you, Brenda.
You feel her, Brendu?
Bleh.
Yeah.
So this will be
Valentine's Day episode.
Valentine's
Day episode. That lets us know that we are now in February.
Yes. We are already a good chunk of the way through the school year.
Yep. The end is almost here.
Sorry, I just heard the dog's squeaky toy way off in the distance.
So, yes, we hear my dog. Molly's out there squeaking a squeaky toy. I don't think the microphones are picking it up.
I don't
we
think
suddenly
so.
Got very distracted because we can hear and her toy is going crazy. She has a few favorites, so we're trying to figure out which one it is.
We should probably just go out there.
I really want to go out there and see my dogs. Guys, it's been fun.
It's been a blast.
I'm sorry we didn't have a break, but I'm not sorry because we just didn't want to stop talking, apparently.
It was just so much fun.
We'll see you guys next week right here on
Back to the Peach Pit.
Hey guys, wanted to take a minute and remind you where you can find us online. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Back to the Peach Pit. We also ask that if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review us. Your reviews help other listeners find us, and we would really appreciate that. We look forward to hearing your thoughts about this week's episode.
Thanks to Pixabay.com for their royalty-free music, where we found our theme song by the Caffeine Creek Band.